Braden, you're doing a good job leading singing. Maybe we'll have an improvement with each generation in the Johnsons. Appreciate it. Didn't know you could lead like that. And by the way, Isaac, I heard that we had a good sermon this morning. I must have been talking to the right ones. I'm very appreciative of Isaac and Brittany and the work that Isaac is doing in preaching. I don't feel like that I am giving you a bad deal when I'm gone. We have reversed things, though. We had more last Sunday than we had this Sunday. I want you to notice that. And I was here last Sunday. But I'll not rub that in. This has been one of the most unusual days I've had in a long time. I preached this morning at Bible study at Wayne Furnace, 6 miles the other side of Waynesboro. And then I spoke at worship. We ate, and at 12:30, I gave 2 lessons. Drove from there to Enville and met a family at the cemetery and conducted a funeral service. I'm here now, and I'm the speaker in the adult class at Rones Creek tonight. They start at 7, but they said if I got there by 7:30, it would be okay. And by the way, those of you that were not at Yahoo's, I had laryngitis Friday and could just barely speak. The Lord has blessed me. I prayed that I'd be able to meet the obligations today, and so far I have. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, the first 9 verses, 17th chapter, Matthew 17, 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, or 3 tents, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell this vision to no man, to whom the Son of Man is risen, until the Son of Man is risen again from the dead. Tonight we've announced our subject as the overshadowing cloud. As I mentioned when we began this series, the only point that's involved really in the sermons is the word cloud. The sermons are of different types and deal with different subjects. Tonight we're dealing with what is perhaps one of the most important subjects that we can touch, the superiority of Jesus, or the divinity of Jesus. And this is suggested especially by the overshadowing nature of the crowd. In order to put this into focus, we need to go back and see what has happened in the 16th chapter to really see how important this is. In verses 13 through 19, we have the promise of Jesus to establish the church. You remember where he asked the question, Whom say men that I am? And they answered, and he said, Whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that statement he said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The idea in this part of the book of Matthew is that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. And that fact is important because Jesus is the Son of God. That's the rock to which he is referring in verse 18. Upon this rock, the fact that Peter has just confessed, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Christ said, I'll build my church. If Christ is not the Son of God, the church does not have the proper foundation. It does not have the proper support, and it has no reason to exist and no reason to stand. So what is going to be proven in this setting of the overshadowing cloud goes back to the point that Jesus emphasized in this part of Matthew 16, that he's going to build his church, but it's going to be based upon the fact that he is the Son of God. That is very important, then and even now. In verses 21 through 23 of the 16th chapter, we have Jesus really talking about the persecution that the apostles are going to face. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not or understandest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. At this point, which is just shortly before the transfiguration scene in chapter 17, and not long before the crucifixion of Jesus, the apostles were still having some difficulty understanding exactly what was involved. I'm rather sure that they did not fully appreciate the persecution that was ahead of them and how difficult it was going to be for them to face that before the crucifixion of Jesus and even after the crucifixion. And so as we have the scene in the 17th chapter of the overshadowing cloud, we're going to have proven to us there that which is important to the apostles as they face this persecution. If Jesus had been a fake or a fraud, think about where the apostles would have been standing a few days later, what they would have been facing in the very near future. If Jesus were not the Son of God, as he claimed, and he's telling them that they're going to have persecution because of him and because of the fact of who he is. If he were not, the whole scene would have been different. And the apostles would certainly have had a difficult time, even perhaps more difficult than they had. And they had to face the embarrassment of the claims of Jesus if they were not true. And so I believe the importance of the 17th chapter points back to that. Then in the 24th verse through the 26th verse, Jesus is emphasizing not just to them, but to all who would come after them, including us today, the importance of spiritual matters. The apostles tended to think about physical things, even thinking that Jesus had come to establish a physical kingdom. Today, sometimes, we have difficulty putting spiritual matters in proper focus. But in this very familiar passage, notice he says, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That may not have made a lot of sense to the apostles then. We're going to try to save something but lose it. We're going to lose something but we'll find it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Jesus said you need to start thinking about spiritual matters. You need to start putting spiritual things and spiritual and physical things in proper focus. And he emphasized to them how important it was to think about the spiritual things and spiritual matters first. They had a tendency to do otherwise. Sometimes we have a tendency to do otherwise. How many people do you think today went through this Lord's Day without thinking anything of a spiritual nature? How many people do you think were at baseball parks today? How many people do you think were at the World Cup to see the final soccer match between Argentina and Brazil? And I suspect that none of them really thought about spiritual matters today. You see, it's not easy for us to emphasize spiritual matters. If you took the nation as a whole, think about how many people today didn't even think about God, didn't care about God. And sad to say, some who even claim to be Christians didn't even think about God today. Jesus was emphasizing where he fit into the picture, and telling them, you need to take up your cross and follow me. Put me ahead of everything else. Be willing to deny yourself, and to be willing to realize that if you lose your life, you haven't lost that which is important. But if you gain everything in this world and lose your soul, you've lost that which is important. They had difficulty focusing on that and putting it in proper perspective. And sometimes you and I have that same difficulty. So after all of these events had happened, where he had emphasized that he was going to establish his church and the kingdom, and even said in that last verse of the 16th chapter that it would be done in the lifetime of some of these apostles, that they would not all die before this happened, emphasizing this is not far in the future. And then he talks about the persecution that the apostles were going to face. And then he talks about putting spiritual matters over physical matters. And after that, then, we have the scene in chapter 17. The transfiguration happened. Moses and Elijah appeared. Peter, who was usually the first one to speak and sometimes evidently did not think things through before he speaks, said, Lord, look what we've got. We've got you, we've got Moses, we've got Elijah. And if you stop and think about it, Moses and Elijah would have represented the law and the prophets of the Old Testament and would have been two of the outstanding figures in the Old Testament. And it was sort of natural, I think, for Peter to think, look, we've got three outstanding characters here. Let's build a tent or maybe a memorial-type building to each of the three. All of a sudden, God took over. They were overshadowed by a cloud. And a voice from the cloud came and said to Peter and to the others, listen, there's only one that I want you to listen to. This one is different from these other two. This one is different from anything or anybody else you've ever seen. This is my son. Hear ye him. Emphasizing that the time had come that what Moses and Elijah had said was not going to be that, were not going to be that important. That this son, the Son of God, was the one to whom they should listen. And so with the overshadowing of the cloud, God in a sense said to them and says to us, Christ is greater than the apostles. He had three of the apostles present on that occasion. But God in a sense said, you're not on the level with Jesus. You need to listen to him. He's the authority. He's the divine one. He is my son. The apostles had to be put in their proper place. They were important during the lifetime of Jesus. They were important after the church was established. But they were not on the level with the Son of God. And until they realized that and realized how great he was and who he really was, they would not be able to go about preaching as the book of Acts records, especially the preaching of Peter, one of these 12, and a little bit about some of the others, and then brings Paul upon the scene. The overshadowing cloud proved that Christ is greater than the apostles. The overshadowing cloud proved that Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament times. Now, Moses was perhaps one of the two or three greatest men in the Old Testament. In fact, he's emphasized probably more than anybody else, unless it's Abraham. He's the one after whom the law became named. He's the one that received the Ten Commandments from God. He's the one that's even talked about in the book of Revelation that there'll be the song of Moses and the Lamb in heaven. Moses was a great man. Elijah was probably one of the most outstanding prophets that ever existed. And yet here God is saying, I want you to understand that my son is more important than them. They had their place to be. They had their part to play. But this son is going to fulfill all of that. He's going to bring into existence that which they promised and prophesied. And he's the one to whom I want you to listen. I believe the overshadowing cloud also said, you need to understand that you are complete in Christ and that he has everything that you need, that he offers you everything that you need. The fullness of Christ is mentioned in several passages. You are complete in him, Colossians 2 and verse 10. I think God was saying on this occasion with the overshadowing cloud, there hasn't been anything like him before and there won't be anything like him afterwards. Those before could not take care of the real needs of the people, and nothing after him can take care of the real needs of the people. You are complete in him. He is the answer. He is the answer to take care of the sins that have been committed from here back, and he's the answer to the sins that will be committed from here forward. My son, God was saying, is it. He is the one. He is the fulfillment of it. I think he was also emphasizing the eternal nature of Christ. In a miraculous way, Moses and Elijah appeared on this occasion, but then they disappeared. Jesus appeared, and God emphasized him. He emphasized him as his son, and he said, he's the one to whom you need to listen. He emphasized his divinity, his authority, and his everlasting nature, in a sense. When he said from that cloud, this is my son, this one, nobody else, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. And that establishes, if you think about it, the divinity of Jesus Christ, showing us in reality that the material things, like building a tent or a tabernacle for whatever purpose Peter had in mind, or anybody would have in mind, is not as important as listening to the Son of God, who is the divine Son of God, and the one that he sent to be our Savior. I think that's the message in the overshadowing cloud. You see, the cloud overshadowed everything else except Jesus. Out of that cloud came only one thing. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. You listen to him. And today, we need to understand that point and the importance of it. There are a few things in the Bible that are more important, if any, than the divinity of Christ. That's why his virgin birth is important. That's why his resurrection from the grave is important. Making his promise that he's coming again and receiving his own to himself, not only important, but meaningful to us today and giving us the assurance that we need. I'm glad that God overshadowed that occasion with a cloud and put everything in proper focus with his voice from that cloud. That said, this, Jesus Christ, this one, only this one, is my son. And he's the one to whom you need to listen. If you and I listen to that son, we'll understand what we need to do to become Christians. Because Jesus taught, even written and read in the Bible, the importance of faith and repentance and confession and baptism into him for salvation. And he taught us how we are to be willing to repent and return to him, and that he is willing to forgive. We need to listen to him when it comes to our lives, in our families, in the community, in the church, because God said, this is the one, this is the only one, hear ye him. If you've not been hearing him and responding to him and need to do that, come as together we stand and sing.
Yeah.